It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And so it is that another month of broadcasting at the Head On Radio Network comes to an end. Tarna!
Yep, there we go. We are up and running. Miracle of miracles, both the White Rose Society streams and the Head On Live stream, which means Roku and Stitcher and TuneIn are all cooking with solar. We no longer say cooking with gas around here. Yes, indeed. It is the 30th day of November 2017. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That, of course, is where you go if you would like to be part of the madcap multimedia Mary Zany wacky real-time extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the hours in which this program is live. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Just click on chat room and pick yourself out a free screen name and a free password and jump in, where you will be eagerly met by the likes of Anatole and Squeaky and BT Blom, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space this evening to become man cave, along with, I presume, his trusty companion, Grady, the shop dog. And there we go. Thank you, Jack, for letting me know. Both White Rose and HeadOn.live seem to be working for now. Well, let's everybody hug their tongue just right and face, you know, yeah, and we'll maybe get through all this. I've already seen a little bit of buffering. Of course, this program comes to you courtesy of a really sloppy, crummy, miserable, no-account, low-rent internet connection, as provided by Frontier. Someday, we'll learn how to do internet. Frontier Communications. And that, so, yeah, like I said, I just saw a little bit of buffering, so there may be some issues this evening. If there are, well, damn, I apologize. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. We have made it to the end of November 2017, and in true Horn form, we've got a nail-biter. Yep, we absolutely do. I was hoping we'd get at least one more fundraising-free day in, but, no, not so much. Okay, sorry, Randy, the White Rose Society stream just crapped out. Well, what a beautiful thing. Maybe restart your player. I saw a little buffering. Maybe it'll come, maybe it just buffered and came. Who knows? But still. I was hoping for a fundraising free Thorn in the Side Thursday, but it is not to be. Thanks go out for the 30th of the month to our subscribers. We have two, namely our buddy Paul in Arizona and our buddy Clarence in Philadelphia. Thanks to both of you. We ended the evening at 2:05 last night, and that takes us down to 185, and that is where we find ourselves this lovely evening. $185 to go to finish the month of November, $185 to go to lick the Lithuanian, $185 to go to nudge the Norsky, and $185 to go to cash the check. Those are the three little bonuses that happen at the end of the month, assuming that we meet our fundraising goal. And thanks to all involved in making those challenges. We'll just cross our fingers here. You got it's not cold enough to merit the 7-year-old pair of Uggs this evening, so I've just got some light shoes on, and I can and they're actually roomy enough that I can cross my toes down there. So fingers and toes are crossed. If you'd like to help out and end the month of November from an okay fundraising perspective, well, go over to headonradionetwork.com, click on contribute, and put in whatever number you think best suits you, and submit, and it's real, real easy. If you'd like to become a monthly subscriber, well, doggone it, just click that little box that says make this a recurring monthly donation, and bing, zow, away you go. Okay? If you hate PayPal, you can always be part of the Patreon campaign, patreon.com/BobKincaid, BobKincaid. All of those come out on the first of the month. So our first of the month subscriptions will come out tomorrow. And hopefully we won't be making up this evening's deficit that way. Okay, so... I hope the White Rose stream comes back for folks, but maybe it will, maybe it won't. Hey, look, Earther and Laborman have wandered in. Squeaky's wandered into the chat room. Hopefully, more folks will wander by as the evening proceeds. We've had a week of 3 days of really, really solid conversations, and I love that sort of thing. It's always good. And as we move toward the new year, I have some goals. I want to add, thanks, Marty. Yep, the MP3 stream from White Rose is down. Okay, let me see what I can do here. Stand by for just 1 minute, please. Okay, so I restarted the stream over at whiterosesociety.org. That's as much as I can really do to affect it, but maybe it'll come back. I don't know. Well, hey, Ron. Quick note coming in from Ron. 5x5 in the semi-frozen north. First opportunity in a while. Semi-frozen indeed. I saw all those people standing out on the very strange-looking Canadian football field last week. I saw that video you posted, the Grey Cup, named after Lord Grey, I guess, or the color of the sky over Ottawa or something. I saw them all standing there and blowing snow and frozen turf and singing the campfire song version, or the campfire song rendition of O Canada. Mm-hmm. I hear that that has caused a bit of a stir. Another stir being caused up that way. I think this took on the characteristics and qualities of a full-on national Class A kerfuffle. Namely, something that happened in some university up there, in which a teaching assistant used the wrong pronoun, and everyone politely went about the business of losing their minds. Go figure. I'm going to try to stay back of all that pronoun business, because I don't want to find myself in the same position as Daffy Duck, you know, pulling my bill back onto the front of my face and saying, "Ha! Pronoun trouble." Ron asking, headon.live works well. Why not just direct everyone over there? Are there connection limits? Well, there kind of are. And the other problem is that White Rose is the connection for everybody on TuneIn and Stitcher and Roku and all those other little platforms, you know, for about the last 12 years. And that is not easily remedied because one does not ever get to talk to a human being with any of those entities. Well, there we go. Brother Deacon Asa letting me know. Looks like the restart didn't work. TuneIn's still down. It worked great right out of the gate, though. Yeah. Sorry. No, it wasn't your player, Randy. It wasn't your player. Sometimes the magic works. Sometimes the magic doesn't work. Anyway, I was saying I have some plans in the new year. I'd like to add another phone number. Someday we'll get the entire telephone hybrid rebuilt. I got the repair bill on that, and it's almost the same amount of money as a whole brand new telephone processor. But we could probably bring in a little gizmo box that would add a hardline phone number to it, which would be cool. Just upgrading here and upgrading there so that by the time we're done with the cycle, we'll be 10 more years down the road and time to do it again. I kid. It is, of course, Thorn in the Side Thursday here. Those days are reserved for stories from the right wing that make us, you know, just like you've sat down on a bouquet of roses with a side of thorns. And we're not without that. I wanted to go back to a couple of things that have made themselves part of the conversation. One, I want to go back to the story of, sleazy James O'Keefe and his Project Veritas rat-fucking organization. Oh, hey, wonderful, thanks. That's a great piece of news. Thank you, Labor Man. $50 challenge up for grabs, Bob. Okay, so there's a $50 challenge on the table. If somebody will meet that, then we will only have $85 to go to finish the month of November. That is a huge boost. So the first 50 bucks that come in get doubled courtesy of Labor Man. Your 10 becomes 20, 20, 40. Your 50 becomes 100 if one person kicks in 50. But that's only up to the first 50 bucks that come in. And so far, that's a wide open situation. Okay? So that's where we stand. $50 challenge on the table. Yes. No, there was a follow-up story last night. The Washington Post is doing what it can to burn as much of Project Veritas as they possibly can and to show people how they work. It turns out that those sleaze bags were inside the Post for months, or weaseling around the edges of the Post for months. And the Post put out as much as they knew in order to disinfect the situation. But here's the thing. There was a woman involved. She's the woman who called herself Jamie Phillips. She'd worked in the payday loan industry, which tells you a little bit about her character in the first place. And she had registrations in, I think, Georgia and Maryland. The Washington Post fleshed as much of this out as they possibly could. But this woman, Jamie Phillips, under orders from the sleazebag convicted criminal James O'Keefe, who gets his money from Chuck and Dave, among other people. You know, Chuck and Dave Coke. Well, he directed her to go to the Washington Post and lie about a rape. To make up a rape out of whole cloth. To say that a rape happened that had never, it was entirely a fictitious creation. Thereby, because, you know, they're Republicans and right-wingers, thereby harming all women who ever report sexual violence. She said, of course, as you recall, that she had been raped by Roy Moore in 1992 when she was 15 years old, and that Roy Moore had then taken her to Mississippi for an abortion, presumably to that state's lone clinic that performs women's reproductive health care services, and I think that's in Jackson, if I recall correctly. Again, none of this was true, but they tried to salt in enough detail that it would get the pink little ears of the Washington Post all perked up with just the right level of salacious details to get them to publish it. And then they could say, it was all a lie. See, Washington Post, just like Acorn. Because you remember, it was... And if anybody has successfully kicked the ass of James O'Keefe lately, it's probably Shirley Sherrod of the Obama administration that he tried to run a scam on, and she busted him. And then, of course, he got arrested down in Louisiana for impersonating a human being. And now he mostly sits in his office because he's burned. People know James O'Keefe when they see him coming. So that's why he hires out the work to, in this case, a woman going by Jamie Phillips, who, again, lied about and arguably, since she was speaking to a third party in the form of the Washington Post, she actually slandered Roy Moore. She didn't slander the Post. She slandered Roy Moore. And if Roy Moore had the courage to sue, but he won't because he approves of the work, implicitly, approves of the work of sleazebag James O'Keefe, but he could sue. That having been said, this occurred to me because we talked a little bit about the ordeal, the trial by ordeal that was perpetrated many years ago against a young woman named Anita Hill. And I pointed out, and I will point it out most every day, that I still believe Anita Hill. I still think that Orrin Hatch was a dirtbag for what he did to Anita Hill and Arlen Specter and every other Republican and a couple of Democrats. Plain and simple. But there are repercussions, and, you know, she did what she did. And there is no such thing as any woman deserving to be raped. Now, mind you, if you get out into the social media sewer, it doesn't take long, if you know where to look, to find, say, women who are sports writers, or women who are news reporters, or women, women. It doesn't take long before you'll find some good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, white winger, suggesting, if he is offended by said woman, suggesting that the woman deserves to be raped. Twitter is filthy with that stuff. And it is almost exclusively the province of the white wing. There is no such thing as deserving that. But if, and this is entirely on James O'Keefe, this is the nature of his character. This is how, and I don't throw the word around a lot, evil he is. And this is what Koch money supports, which means this is how evil they are. If Jamie Phillips, if that really is her name, if Jamie Phillips is ever raped, it is very likely that she will be unable to get justice. Because she has already established herself as a woman who will lie about rape. I mean, this is the kind of thing that a first-year law student could probably handle in a court of law under the tutelage of a practicing attorney, a licensed attorney. Because she now has a reputation for not telling the truth. And it's not just a local reputation. She has a reputation for not telling the truth that is national and, nay, perhaps even international in nature. And that is tragic. That is proof of the degree to which the white wing will casually use and throw away human beings in their relentless, remorseless, conscienceless quest to either gain or maintain political power. Ponder that for a moment. I'll wait. It's disgusting, isn't it? James O'Keefe and Project Veritas took some mother's daughter, who, admittedly, willingly, and connived her into claiming a rape that didn't happen. And she's already burned so that if anything ever does happen to her, a jury probably won't believe her. And she will be foreclosed from anything resembling justice. I only mention this because of the prevalence of rape in our culture. And it is far greater, I think, than even anyone, any scientist or demographer or statistician can get their minds on. It runs broad and it runs deep, and yes, it runs across gender boundaries. And so the idea that there will be some sort of horrible thing that will happen to this woman, if it hasn't already, is much greater than I think any of us would like to admit. And so here she is, in a position of, to a certain extent, self-inflicted, but also inflicted by the conniver, the corrupter, into, And, you know, but it runs beyond the rape, doesn't it? She is now identified as being a fundamentally dishonest person. Reckon any payday lenders would hire her again now? Could you trust her around the payday lending money? Could you trust her around the receipts? I doubt she's going to work for any banks. But then again, this is what Wingnut Welfare exists for. So, you know, she'll probably get some job with some think tank or some such. And nothing bad will ever happen to her. And she can go about the business of thinking that she's a decent human being. Note coming in from Arthur. Can't God just drop a piano or 10 on O'Keefe? God, I hate that wormy prick. I'm still upset over Acorn. And you know what? We all should be. So, you know, that. I wanted to mention that. The other thing that we didn't spend quite enough time on was Nikki Haley and the really big, scary, great, big, terrifying nuclear dilemma. Because after Kim Jong Golf Pants sent up his latest rocket, the world, of course, had another conniption. And she said some pretty inflammatory things. Relative to war with North Korea. Terrifying things. And it smelled an awful lot like 2002. You know what I mean by that. It smelled like the lies that went nonstop in the run-up to our attack on the peaceful and innocent people of Iraq, because, in the words of Dim Leader, he tried to kill my daddy. Because I guess you go with things that work. And the American people can always be to war, at least on the front end. We do love the starts of wars. We just don't like the body counts and why should I use my beautiful mind and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And so it was that at the UN, Nimrata Haley said, if war comes, make no mistake,
and the North Korean regime will be utterly destroyed.
Yeah, okay. If war comes. Now, in response to the latest missile test, the South Koreans shot some rockets into the sea. And Caratine Caligula tweeted against Little Rocket Man today. Sheesh, son of a. Because make no mistake, it's what they want. And yeah, from time to time I ask the silly question, and I have yet to get a satisfactory answer on it. Is there any such thing as an anti-war movement in the United States? Or was that another casualty of the purity wars of 2016? And that's not me being a smartass. That's a real question. Is there an anti-war movement in the United States, or was that also a casualty of the purity wars of 2016? Because I follow a lot of different media. And I read as much as I can to be prepared for any given evening here behind the mic in the mansion, in the fabulous 10x6 horn studio. And I can't see that there is one. Instead, I see a lot of almost resigned declarations that Trump wants a war and that he is quite mad enough to start one. You know my filthy little habit in the morning. I indulged it today. And I saw two people appear on Morning Joe. One was Ezra Klein, who has a column out today asserting that it is more than okay to impeach a president for simply not being good at his job or competent at his job. And I agree with Ezra Klein in that regard. The other fellow was live from London, talking about the response of the people of the UK to the entirely self-inflicted fuck-up that Tangerine Tiberius created by, you know, retweeting those dummied-up, faked-up, frauded-up, rubed-up, ginned-up anti-Muslim fascist videos. And you know what? And little golf clap. Bigger golf clap to those Labour backbenchers and so forth in the United Kingdom who are saying,
now listen, given this latest round of atrocious behaviour by Mr. Trump, I think it would be a fine idea if we were to rescind the invitation for a state visit by said Trump, insofar as he really doesn't need to come over here and fan the flames of white nationalism. We're having enough trouble as it is with a segment of our Brexiters and a goodly number of people who are already quite fascist to the point of goose-stepping, and we don't need him coming over here and starting a British auxiliary of the Ku Klux Klan. And while we're at it, why don't we simply ban him from entering the United Kingdom altogether, insofar as he is a purveyor of hate, as we have done in the past with other American fascist, racist hate mongers? I get cramps in my face doing that voice. It takes nerve to say that. Takes guts, takes courage. And I applaud that courage. But more to the point,
No, it's just plain old garden variety buffering. Marty wants to know, is there someone else on your stream? Either that or some one thing is stepping on your stream. No, it's just buffering. Yeah. As Asa told me, supreme buffering, man. Yeah. Sorry. Wish I could do something about it. I can't. Brought to you by Frontier. I think Carl's Jr. would be better at delivering internet. If she's listening, Kelly is sitting out there somewhere going, yep. She has Frontier, too. My eldest daughter has Frontier. And in a way, when we go over to visit, it's like a vacation from current events because... Hell, her internet's not good enough not strong enough that I can actually connect a mobile device to the Wi-Fi and get anything in the way of updates. Nope. These are the people who used to be Verizon. But anyway, never mind. We don't have an anti-war movement. And we damn sure need one. And this, you know, this isn't just any old anti-war movement I'm talking about. This is the kind of anti-war movement that objects to World War III. And I'm not being hyperbolic. This is the kind of anti-war movement we need that tries to stop a nuclear conflagration. By comparison, trying to mobilize against the invasion of Iraq, noble, necessary. At least it made clear that the vast majority of the world was aligned against George W. Bush. But it wasn't quite existential. The anti-war movement that we need now is existential. Because among other things, as she was speaking, Nimrata Haley sounded downright giddy at the prospect of starting a shooting war with Kim Jong Golf Pants. Yes, as a matter of fact, it was Ron and Raleigh wanting to know. Hey, Bob, was that Sir Nigel Kincaid?
Absolutely, it was. Sir Nigel is a good chap and rather a backbencher, don't you know? And oh, my mouth is cramping again. God bless him. Yes, God save the Queen, yes.
Old Nigel, yeah, extended Kincaid family. Thank you, Ron. Thank you for noticing. No, we don't have Carl's Jr. where I live. We've got Hardee's. H-A-R-D-E-E apostrophe S. But still, I'm plugged in, man. I know these things. No, Carl's Jr., Idiocracy. Does anybody here know how to play this game? Nimrata Haley said, if war comes, does she really think that Kim Jong-un is nuts enough to put a warhead on a missile? And shoot it at the United States? Because one of the other things, we've been terrorized in the last couple of days by being told, among other things, that missile can reach the entire United States. Goodbye, busted knuckle! Who a son of a gun! Give me a sec here. Okay, so hopefully, what I've done is I've just shut down the White Rose Society stream. I'm trying to get conserve what little bit of bandwidth we have. No, she said the other night, a couple of nights ago, that North Korea is begging for war. No, they're not. They're trying to needle us into starting one. And it is becoming terrifyingly plain that we might just be stupid enough to be so needled. Randy says, I'm so anti-war. I have a nuclear neurosis, and it has gotten me into a lot of trouble, not to mention a lot of mental anguish. I don't know if that's neurosis. Because at least with the present administration, there are some terrifying facts. Things like him saying, well, what's the good of having a nuclear arsenal if you can't use it? What's the good of having all these missiles if we can't use it? And any sane person hears that and gets kind of neurotic in kind of a hurry. Mm-hmm. Subject line, nuke the whales, coming from Steve on the Gulf Coast. Nuke the whales, and the answer is no. We older folks find it hard to see a generation coming to maturity in a culture of perpetual war, and also not being particularly bothered by it. But what else is it that we have than perpetual war? The passivity to violence infests everything. Let the handguns fire, or the hydrogen bombs fall. What's the difference? And you know what? There's truth there. Because a nation that doesn't have a problem, a nation that will not do anything when a bunch of little first graders get mowed down at school, or nearly 600 people get shot and or killed at a country music concert in Vegas and the country won't do anything, is probably going to be okay with a nuclear apocalypse. Because there's somewhere out there, there's some well-funded right-winger or phalanx of the goddamn things that'll be willing to... My friends, it's just those mushroom clouds, you know what they look like to me? They look like freedom. Yes, I'm broadcasting live from the southern the bunker under my southern command. It's got a 13-foot layer of lead, and we've got enough water and food here to keep an ordinary human being for 100 years and me for 15 days. When he took to tweeting, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini said, we'll take care of it. But it was interesting this morning Joe was, that there was Ezra Klein openly talking about impeachment. And Mr. and Mrs. Joe pulled up just short of so doing. But Joe went on a little rant. And yeah, this is going to be a little bit of humble bragging here. Joe went on a little rant this morning. And I recognized it because it was something I've been saying for 2 years. Intermittently, every few days for 2 years. About the madness of Donald Trump. And I kind of sat up and went, well, son of a gun, Bob. What we're learning today is that people who listen to the horn actually are listening to the future. Our community, our little Horn Family Community Congregation, exists in the future. because we say things here that the for-profit media won't say for a year or two. But then, by God, they're edgy geniuses on the cutting edge when they do get around to saying it, right? Only thing is, by the time they get around to saying it, it's old news over here. I remember that Far Side cartoon. Ron reminds me. Gary Larson, multiple mushroom clouds rising over the mountains in the background. Two guys sitting in a boat fishing. I'll tell you what it means, Bob. It means no limits. Let's just slay them today. We can catch as many fish as we got worms. Mm-hmm. They're begging for war. By the way, the missile that the North Koreans put up achieved an altitude that was actually higher than that of the International Space Station. And then it went kafloop in the Sea of Japan, proving once again that the people they're really aiming at are the Japanese. Because that's an area of the world where things could be easily misconstrued. And the North Koreans can say, oh, we didn't mean to do anything. We're just But we have mutual defense treaties with the Japanese and the South Koreans, so that we would then be almost obliged to start shooting back. And we're getting, and that's a good place to make that happen. At which point the North Koreans say, oh, they started it. By the way, the latest rumblings out of North Korea is that they're going to test another device, and that this one they will test above ground out in the Pacific Ocean. And as someone who is anti-war, I will say that that's going to feel very much like an act of war. Because we all know that only white people, only white countries, are allowed to destroy entire portions of the Pacific Ocean with nuclear testing, namely the United States and France. Oh. Because those are the rules. Whew. Getting a little hot in here. Well, that's true too, Arthur. The Kim Jun family is creepy weird, says Arthur, but they haven't stayed in power for so long by being crazy and reckless. Or, arguably, crazy and stupid. Courtesy of Larry. Message to the masses. The Horn family waits in the future for your past to intersect with our present in order to achieve a new octave for humanity, the highest octave of being. I know, says Larry. It's deep. Brother Deacon Asa says, regarding listening to the future, with all of your buffering, I'm just hearing the words you uttered at 15 minutes past the hour. That's considered listening to the past where I'm from, bub. Sorry, couldn't resist. Oh, there's always one. What you don't realize, though, is that I plan to say that in the future, and that's why you're hearing it in the past. See how these chronosynclastic infundibula work? I've been studying them for a long time. Don't screw with me. And by the way, something I saw, apropos of nothing, except everything, something I saw a little bit before airtime, courtesy of Clarity. It appears that the right-wing scum filth machine has turned its sights on someone I respect and consider a friend, and that is Sam Cedar. They're trying to misconstrue like a 2009 tweet, once again dealing with rape culture, as a way of deflecting from his relentless criticism of the ephebophile, I think that's the word, the ephebophile, Roy Tola Moore. And they're trying to destroy him because, you know, Sam operates over in the for-profit world. That's not a criticism. He's got things like advertisers and stuff. And so the scumbags, like, you know, that website that rhymes with light and fart. And, of course, Mike Cernovich, who is the dirtbag who offered up a cash bounty for information on any Democrat and sexual improprieties, and did any number of vile and filthy things along with that in the course of his career as a rat fucker and a misogynist. They're trying to drive Sam out of business. And I just thought it would be appropriate for me to use this little bit of non-commercial space to point out that Sam is a friend and that I do respect Sam, and Sam is good people. And that I'll stand with him against the likes of Mike fucking Cernovich any day of the week. Okay. Yeah. So, this is a, you know, this is a, that's pretty much the filibobster for the evening. It's a Thursday. It's the last day of November 2017. There will never be another November 2017. At least not on this plane. I guess we're having hell on wheels with the internet tonight. Yeah, lots of problems. Damn it. So if you'd like to participate in the program, if you've got something you'd like to add to the conversation, you are mighty welcome to do so. You know the number, 304-574-8178. Also, from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N, C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, via Skype. And we'll take a little break and see what folks have on their mind to talk about, assuming that you are so inclined to converse. Oh yeah, the bandwidth really sucks. I just saw how long it took to do that one little thing. Not a good sign. And this is all the stuff that a staff does. Okay. So we've got that taken care of. And now all we got to do is find this. So let's, like I said, we'll take a little break, and a note coming in from our buddy Todd in South Carolina, Stan. Morning, Joe, drumbeat of war. Yes, Morning Joe was interesting this morning. Everyone on the panel was very concerned about armed conflict. There was no mistaking it. Scarborough was speaking directly to congressmen who listened to the show. Message to the masses, we're going to war unless some entity intervenes. Nikki Haley's speech was chilling. Time to start amassing canned food. And by Jove, I think that needs to be that right there. That needs to be a motto. I may get that tattooed. Barbecue now, says Todd, or forever hold your peace. Mm-hmm. Okay, Ron with a piece of advice from the far, from the somewhat frozen north. Bob, just tell anyone who calls in to speak very slowly. Probably has something to do with the bandwidth. Okay, here we go. Stand by. We'll be back. I'm Bob. Oh, by the way, there is still a $50 challenge on the table. We have $185 to raise this evening. In order to cash the check, lick the Lithuanian, and nudge the Norsky. $185 to go. $50 challenge on the table at 2 minutes before 7 p.m. in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. We are at zero. This is the horn.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Churn world serves its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Beat it up a knock, speak, grunt. No strength. The ladder starts to clatter with.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
It's Thursday, November 30, 2017.
In this part of America, there's still hope they'll get the shot they need to revive an industry they're not willing to give up on just yet.
Trump's EPA holds climate hearings in coal country. Winter heat wave hits Greenland and breaks records in the U.S. West. New federal contracting scandal exposed in Puerto Rico's very slow recovery. Plus, good news for breathers in Wisconsin and Missouri.
Hey, I bet there's a lot of them. All of that good news and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
It was wrong for the last administration to declare a war on coal.
It was a real war, and the president said the war is over.
Who won the war on coal? Was it Christmas?
I know it wasn't you or me. This is your Green News Report. I'm gonna soak up the sun. Okay, Desi Doyen, winter may be setting in, but we are still seeing heat waves across the U.S. and across the world.
Yes, indeed we are. A rare November heat wave hit icy Greenland this week, bringing rain in winter and boosting temperatures as much as 36 degrees Fahrenheit above normal. Mm. And in the western U.S., Denver hit 81 degrees, breaking its all-time November record that was set just last year.
81 degrees in Denver in November?
Yeah.
Not good.
In West Virginia, the Trump administration's EPA held its only public hearing over its repeal of the Obama-era Clean Power Plan, which is intended to limit the carbon emissions from power plants that cause dangerous global warming.
This will force many of these coal-fired power plants to close. Many more will close, which would destroy the jobs and the family livelihoods for thousands of coal mining families.
That was coal baron Robert Murray of Murray Energy, the nation's largest coal mining company. The coal industry opposes the plan, even though industry analysts say not regulation. On the broadcast, environmental journalist Emily Atkin of the New Republic, who attended the hearing in West Virginia, noted that the Trump EPA's devotion to propping up the coal industry ignores the millions of Americans who suffer from coal's pollution.
The communities that live near producing plants, which often are disproportionately low-income and minority communities, those aren't based in West Virginia, and I would argue that they're just as impacted by the Clean Power Plan as a coal miner. And yet the EPA doesn't have any scheduled public hearings in any of those areas.
No, they don't. That was Emily Atkin responding to my question about why they decided to have this hearing in Charleston, West Virginia, and nowhere else. And she said it was because Pruitt wanted to have these hearings in a place where the Clean Power Plan had the greatest impact. But it impacts everyone all over the country.
In Puerto Rico, the Associated Press has uncovered yet another contracting scandal. That FEMA has canceled a $30 million contract that it awarded to a tiny, one-month-old Florida company to provide emergency tarps and supplies. But it took 4 weeks for FEMA to discover that the company failed to deliver anything. More than 2 months after Hurricane Maria, more than a million Puerto Ricans are still without electricity or clean water. Meanwhile, independent Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont has introduced a bill in the Senate to provide more than $140 billion in funding to repair Puerto Rico's and the U.S. Virgin Islands' electric grids and crucial infrastructure.
Good luck with that, Bernie.
It's focused on sustainability, clean energy, and energy efficiency. But as you mentioned, passage seems unlikely with Senate Republicans focused on their $1.5 trillion tax cut bill for the wealthy and corporations.
Priorities.
Senate Democrats don't have enough votes to stop a sneaky provision in the tax bill that opens up the pristine Alaska National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling. Meanwhile, the Trump Interior Department this week quietly issued new drilling permits allowing foreign oil company Eni to drill just off of Alaska's coast, starting as early as next month. But some good news for breathers. In Wisconsin, electric utility company We Energy announced it will permanently close its coal-fired power plant in Pleasant Prairie in 2018 and will move to cheaper, cleaner natural gas and solar. The company says the shift will lower prices for consumers and reduce its water use and air pollution.
I don't get it. I thought the war on coal was over.
And you'll like this one. In Missouri, your home state and also the home state of the nation's two largest coal companies, St. Louis Electric Utility Ameren has announced it will build a massive wind farm by 2020. And utility company Empire in southern Missouri announced it will also build its own equally massive wind farm, but it's going even further, saying it's going to retire its non-competitive coal-fired power plant in 2019, more than 10 years ahead of schedule.
Nice. Finally, something to be proud of out of Missouri for a change. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Meet me in St. Louis, Louis. Meet me at the fair. Don't tell me the lights are shining any place but there.
Show tunes. Judy Garland, even. Oh, my God. 8 minutes past the hour on this Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn, the 30th day of November, 2017. And, okay, so, all right, this table is solid wood. You heard me knock it, right? And the toes, oh, I hope they don't cramp, and the fingers are crossed, and let's see if we're actually going to really, no kidding, talk to the angry Indian. Hey, angry.
Hey, my man.
Oh, my God, so far, so good.
I hear an echo, though.
I don't.
Well, you don't? Oh, okay. Then it's just on my end. So I begin. Project Veritas, every Native American is present. I mean, three different ways, all at the same goddamn time. Voting against a Nazi glorification resolution in the United Nations. We've been treating a neo-Nazi from Britain first three times in the same day. And of course, you know, the videos are false, but Huckabee Sanders says it doesn't matter if the information was wrong. We have a real issue that we need to talk about. So it doesn't matter if they were fake. And Pocahontas isn't a slur. Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know where to go. You know, I just got called an Uncle Tom on Twitter. I mean, I didn't know a black man could be this happy. So, you know, tell me where you want to go.
I mentioned Morning Joe earlier, just a few minutes ago. Angry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's apparently a murderer, but we don't know about that.
Yeah, we've never heard about that before. Remember, the geezer discussed us also wants us to look into the head of NBC now too. But be that as it may, some things are notable for their absence as notable for their absence as much as for, you know, presence. So in the middle of the Jeremiad today, they made mention of the fact that some news outlet, I can't remember which, reached out to every Republican in the Senate and could only get three. There were only three who even marginally criticized the Marmalade Mugabe for his fascist tweeting. I know that one of those was Precious Lindsey Graham, who will criticize but not cross Donald Trump. Here's the part that was absent. This was an easy get, okay? This is a, how do you blow past it? Yeah, those three said something. The other three said that they were busy doing their hair or I don't know, sending out video masturbation videos like Joe Barton did or, you know, something. Or maybe, you know, going to church. But what they didn't mention was that Representative Keith Ellison, a man of color and a Muslim from Minnesota, made it real easy for him. All they had to do was say, Keith Ellison is right. Because as I noted on the program last night, Keith Ellison told the Guardian, and it was the first phrase out of his mouth in the quote, Donald Trump is racist, period. That's not particularly, I mean, that's not hard to understand. It's not difficult to parse that. You could even diagram that sentence pretty damn quick. Donald Trump is racist. But that one, you know, no, let's not mention the Democrat of color who is speaking truth to power. Let's talk about the three Republicans who managed to mumble something. Right?
Well, April D. Ryan, you know, mainstream black reporter. Yeah, I mean, this, I'm just calling it as it is. She's not a radical.
No.
She's not welcome at the White House.
She's got hers. I mean, she's doing okay, right? I mean, I don't think April Ryan's out there in the streets or anything. And
no.
That's not me being cruel.
No, not at all. You know, it is what it is. That's like saying that Tom Perez is a radical. You know?
Yeah.
Or Obama was a radical. Or Cory Booker is a radical. You know, that's not true. That's simply not true.
See, you can't even say any of those without eventually chuckling, can you?
No, but I'm called the, and I don't know how cool I am about this, you know, like the Lenny Bruce, right, of the podcast world, because I bring up, and, you know, we've hinted at this, and you did, you know, when I was listening to your monologue today, we can't really have a conversation about any goddamn thing because the language is twisted. The media outlets have been twisted. We have somebody who's pointing to Al Frankenstein, to Weinstein, any Democrat that he can. He just brought up the BIRTHA bullshit again yesterday, which just goes to show you how desperate this motherfucker is. But he brings up the BIRTHA shit yesterday on top of accusing the other day Joe Scarborough of murder. Now you're telling me about somebody from NBC. You know, he just went, you know, into his barrel of, okay, what can I pull next? What can I pull next? What I'm trying to say is here is that if he was Obama, if he was, you know, Jimmy Carter, if he was Bill Clinton, he would have been out of office 3 months ago. Everybody is standing around, oh, we don't know what to do. It's like, yeah, we don't know what the fuck to do because we're confused. So where am I coming from with this? I've been talking about sexual fucking assault on my goddamn broadcast for years. I have written about it in terms of motherfucking Asian women. I'm being honest. Say that's where I've written about it.
Or the disappearing of Native American women in both Canada and the United States.
Well, I've talked about that. Yeah, I've talked about that. I talk about that just about every broadcast. And I talk about black women, and I talk about black children that are missing, because some of us remember the Atlanta child.
Okay, so let me you ask
know,
you this.
Some is of
this
us know.
Is this a case of missing white girl syndrome then? Is that what you're saying?
In what case now? Because see, this is what I'm talking about in terms of the confusion. We need to be clear.
Well, I mean, the fact that there is, the level of upset, the level of attention being paid. Remember when Natalie Holloway disappeared and the entire media infrastructure of the entire United States was suddenly focused on Aruba and every story in the media was missing white girl? I mean, I think if you went back to roughly that time...
I don't remember the name. I remember Aruba, yeah.
Yeah, I think if you went back in my archive, you could find us talking about this, that everything stopped for a missing white girl when there were plenty of missing Asian women, Native women, women of color... that never stopped the media for a freaking minute.
For a minute. Yeah, well that's a piece of it.
I want to be careful about that because I don't want to come across as being dismissive because I'm not.
You can still come across as dismissive even if you're acknowledging things because we're at cusp right now for... We've talked about this where nothing was done for a long time. For generations, nothing. Every now and again, you know, there's a moral panic. So in the 80s, you had the satanic panic. You know, nobody gave a fuck about sexual assault, but it only worked in terms of what the moral majority was trying to push at the time. So they used it. And salacious facts always sell newspapers. You know, this is so myriad, it's not funny. You know, because I'm being criticized for saying that the woman who came up with the Me Too campaign, you know, I just said this on my latest broadcast that, you know, I'm upset with the fact that I've only found out about it because I follow Alyssa Milano on Twitter.
Yeah, I do too.
I should have known about this because the woman has started this shit years ago. You know, and I only know because of democracynow.org, you know, who she is. And frankly, and we need to be upfront, what she looks like. If she looked like Rose McGowan, she looked like Alyssa Milano, she looked like Beyonce, Kim Kardashian, we would have been talking about Me Too a long motherfucking time ago. She's a black woman who looks like a black woman, and you know...
Wait, hold on, Alyssa Milano? Not a black woman.
Not a black
woman? No.
Big black woman, not a black woman with a broad nose and very African features. No.
No.
You know, and let's be honest.
No, I mean, not a black woman at all.
I grew up in a fucked up goddamn... No, and I grew up in a fucked up community. When a pretty girl was attacked, people gave a shit. I'm talking about gave a shit to where, you know, the police had to save a couple of motherfuckers for attacking women because, you know, they were nice looking. But if the woman was heavy, if she wasn't particularly attractive, nobody gave a fuck. I mean, you know, and people who are angry with me, but then are saying that Oprah Winfrey was brave for doing the film Precious. I'm like, well, goddamn, that's what the fuck she was trying to show. This is what I'm talking about. We're not having any of these goddamn discussions. And because we can have these discussions, somebody from Project Veritas was able to walk into the motherfucking Post. It turns out over a period of what? Months, right, Bob?
This was months.
She's been trying to sell them a false fucking story for the longest.
And working inside other organizations too. I mean, this was a major operation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This was an operation. Yeah. So then, you know, somebody's upset with me from the black community, and I understand the animosity in terms of, you know, having your back up because you feel you're being attacked because you're a black woman. I dig that. That's what the fuck I'm trying to talk about here, because this woman's upset with me for mentioning Tawana Brawley and pointing out the fact that Tawana Brawley lied. Let me give some background. I was one of the fucking people on the East Coast that got into all kinds of bullshit, lost a job because I was supporting Tawana Brawley. All right? A lot of fucking people went down. You know, that they're not on TV, they're not out here at all the marches, but fucking arguing with their white goddamn co-workers saying that, you know, what happened was fucked up. But the bottom line, and then all of the evidence fucking came out. She didn't have a case. And it turned out that she most likely fucking flat out goddamn lied to, you know, avoid an ass whipping from her stepfather, who had a reputation for fucking meanness. And it snowballed. And she would not be the first goddamn woman who has told a lie like that and it snowballed. And she didn't know what the fuck to do. I think I've told you on this program. I know men that have gone to prison for false rape charges. And in one case, the woman, you know, she thought that she was about to die, she was really sick. And she confessed to her mother that, she lied about the thing because, he was talking to somebody else. She got jealous and she told the story. But once it got going, she was afraid to get in trouble. She was afraid to say, I really made this up because I was upset, and she never did anything.
Which is, of course, is the plot to Kill a Mockingbird.
To Kill a Mockingbird, and there's a whole bunch of black men until DNA comes through. They're doing 18, 30 motherfucking years. So it needs to be discussed. But mentioning that does not dismiss what the fuck these women are talking about. It doesn't dismiss it at all. But because they are of the, the idea now we're on a witch hunt, we're not going to question anything too much. We're just going to condemn, and we're going to pick and choose who we're going to condemn. George Takei was mentioned, but I don't hear anybody fucking going after George Takei on Twitter anymore. I don't hear about it. Certain favorite people have been named, and then they're not saying anything. And then, okay, we're going to go after this one. But Trump is still up there, and nobody's doing a goddamn thing.
Well,
Roy Moore's ahead of the fucking polls, but we don't know what to do.
There's a little bit of a win, I can report. I've talked over the, especially last night, I talked about Joe Barton. I had a note from Bob in Texas earlier today saying that that's his member of Congress. Down there, they call him Smoking Joe Barton because of all the polluters that he's given a pass to over the years. And, of course, this is the guy who sent
There's a whole lot we can talk about.
This is the guy who, and he said the, and the other thing Bob told me that I didn't know about is that photo that made its way around the internet is actually a grab, probably not the best word, from a full-on masturbation video that he sent. I know, ick, right?
Okay. I don't give a shit. That's the adults do what the fuck they want to do, but don't be up there in Texas, and going against.
And talking about your family values and how marriage is a solemn ceremony ordained by God between one man and one woman at a time. I added the at a time part.
The only Republican who is open is Roger Stone. Roger Stone is the only one who's an open swinger.
That's only because he got outed. But with regard to Joe Barton, granted, it wasn't quite enough to make him just leave the House of Representatives right now, and it certainly wasn't enough to make him resign his chairmanship of Energy and Natural Resources in the House. But Joe Barton did announce that he will be retiring on full pay with the humongous pension and the best health care money can buy from the House of Representatives at the end of this here term. So how about that?
Well,
Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, but come on,
Nancy Pelosi has announced her intention to hound John Conyers out of office because that's what Democrats do. And of course, I never heard a word out of Paul Ryan about Joe Barton. And every time I see one of these filthy bastards of the right wing get caught at this, I always think of David Vitter. Elliot Spitzer destroyed. Anthony Weiner run out of town. David Vitter came out and confessed to being a John. And
what his regular girl went on television and defended him.
and he admitted he was a John. He was a member of the House of Representatives at the time, and he was punished by being sent to the Senate of the United States by the voters of Louisiana Stan.
Yeah, Cockavita, right?
Yeah, no.
Wasn't that him?
No, that was George Allen. George Macaca Allen. No, this was Diaper.
Oh, that was George Allen.
Yeah, this Diaper
Thanks.
Dave.
I stand corrected.
This Diaper Dave.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to do that because that's his particular freak, and who gives a fuck?
Precisely.
How can you push these policies?
Don't care, as long as nobody's.
That's my thing.
As long as everybody can consent and nobody's getting hurt, don't care. But the thing is, The doors swing open. Those barn doors swing open when you start talking about your Christian, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical family values. See, there's another story out there that has been...
Okay, so, okay, no...
Wait. There's another story out there that has been profoundly underrepresented, and that's this creep in Ohio who was, he was really Republican. He was all family values and out there, putting a man in his mouth, okay, and got all busted for it. And guess who it turns out his facilitator was? None other than Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates, Perkins, of the American Family Resource Council, that can't open its mouth without having a purple polka-dotted, blue screaming hissy and kittens with crocheted tails about all the Homer sectionals getting murried up. The story's out there to be found. Tony Perkins and whoever, I can't remember his name right now, this Ohio member of the legislature, who was a notorious philanderer, closeted philanderer. And so far, but the thing is, it matters because these are the people who are trying to hurt other people while they're doing the same things that the people they're trying to hurt are doing. That's what matters.
Of course,
matters.
I agree, but of course it matters. But let's hold that and let's try to move forward, because one of the things that allows James O'Keefe to get away with the bullshit that he gets away with. And he didn't get away with it this time. I mean, I don't think he got away with it the last couple of times either. But he keeps fucking trying. But one of the reasons why he was able to do this, or thought that he was going to be able to do this, is because there's been no motherfucking attention and no real dealing with this for so long that, no one's going to question an allegation. And in a lot of cases, I'm hearing women say this, and I've been hearing this for years. I don't give a fuck if some guy's innocent. I was attacked. So I don't care what the fuck happens. You hear the same thing with racism. I don't give a fuck if that white guy got beat up by, a group of fucking stupid kids and shit. Because, it happens occasionally. It fucking happens occasionally. And it's like, well, I don't give a fuck because, white people are nasty to me, so I don't give a fuck what happens. And that is what they were counting on. And we need to recognize that politically to understand how we're being set up all the goddamn time. The fact that Trump can remain in office when he has been connected to Jeffrey Epstein, who is in the joint right now, for doing what? Right? He's been connected to, or at least a woman said that she was fucked with at 13 by him. Then you have all of these other women. Now he's saying that the tape of him with talking to Billy Bush is not him and that is fake. The society is letting him get away with this. And they're allowing him to point to Democrats that they're picking and choosing as the number one predator you need to worry about, why Roy Moore continues to fucking run for the Alabama Senate, why we forget about Dennis Hastert, why we forget about the piece that I keep complaining about, and I am angry about this shit still. I wrote about Jerry Sandusky, and in my goddamn piece, I found out that the entire fucking Republican Party of the state of Pennsylvania fucking knew about him, and that because he was making money for Penn State, they let it go. That he had been interrupted several fucking times by people who were in a position to do something about it. And apparently, when they went to fucking Joe Paterno, he fucking got it squashed. And when Joe Paterno died after covering up for this motherfucker, white students went on a goddamn rampage and beat up two fucking, I was going to say white reporters, but that's neither here nor there. They beat up two fucking reporters, set fire to different obstacles on the campus, and turned over a fucking news van. But we're still hearing that, Black Lives Matter and Black Identity activists are who the fucking system needs to be watching because of people like James O'Keefe.
And look,
how are they able to
manipulate
us like that?
All right, this, interesting. You would bring up the whole Paterno thing. Here's a story. And I don't think you particularly follow the college ball or anything, but bear with me on the setup here. The University of Tennessee has a long and proud football tradition. Goes back, you know, just about to when Bear Bryant blew up the first pigskin. That's a joke. Well, they've fallen on hard times lately. And with a couple of games to go in this season, as things were falling completely apart, they've had perhaps the worst season in their entire history as a football team. They ditched their head coach, a fellow who used to coach the Miami Hurricanes by the name of Butch Jones. Now don't tune out because you think I'm going, I don't mean you, I mean the family community congregation. Don't be thinking, oh, Bob's going to talk about college football now. No. Mm-mm. So Tennessee is their present football program situation. It's hard to find a news story about the Tennessee football program that does not involve the term dumpster fire. That's the secondary reference for the Tennessee football program. The Tennessee football program dumpster fire. It's awful. It's in ashes. It's shattered into a million tiny pieces. And so they were off on they had to find themselves a head coach. All right? And they searched, and nobody was much interested. And then they went looking up at Ohio State University. And there they found one of Urban Meyer's assistant coaches, a guy by the name of Greg Schiano. Now, back some years ago, Greg Schiano actually managed as a head coach to make Rutgers respectable, which is no small accomplishment. So there's Greg Schiano. He was hired by Ohio State. And when it was announced by the University of Tennessee that a memorandum of understanding had been reached with Greg Schiano to be the head coach of the University of Tennessee, Vols fans and donors and the glad handers and backslappers and such, and you got to understand the nature of SEC football to really get your head around all of this, had a conniption. They didn't want no Greg Schiano. He wasn't no high-profile coach like what the University of Tennessee, by God, deserves. So they then turned to the Jerry Sandusky affair at Penn State. Angry. Because Greg Schiano had once been an assistant under Joe Paterno. Now, in the course of the investigation of that entire filthy, disgusting, sleazy affair that should have resulted in the elimination of the entire football program at Penn State, They also investigated Greg Schiano, the Attorney General of Pennsylvania. Investigated Greg Schiano and found that Greg Schiano had no exposure. There were a couple of mentions, a couple of rumors, a couple of he said, I know this guy who said he knew a guy who said this guy told him that Greg Schiano had once seen Jerry Sandusky doing something filthy. But the Attorney General of Pennsylvania investigated all that. And Greg Schiano came out clean enough to be hired by Ohio State University, okay? Where there's a bit of a microscope when you're going to work at a school like that. But that was not good enough for the hardcores on Rocky Top. And so they went about the business of sleazing and sliming Greg Schiano and inferring guilt by association, so that eventually the University of Tennessee announced that it had torn up the memorandum of understanding with Greg Schiano and that he would not be coming to Tennessee to coach football. All of this not because any of these glad handers and backslappers and backers and boosters gave a fuck about little children, but because they damn well wanted somebody that could beat Alabama and Georgia and Florida every year. And so they tried to destroy a human being. In a way, that's in line with some of the stuff that you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. It is. Look, I'm all for going after the guilty. But, you know, people get caught up in shit sometimes because, I mean, look at what's happening in the Philippines with Duterte. Are we really going to say that all 7,000 of those goddamn people were fucking drug dealers? Come on.
No, they were they were just excess life. And I'm sure some of them were just excess life.
Hey, I don't like you. I never liked you, motherfucker. You deal drugs. Boom. Dang. I like your wife. Your wife doesn't like me.
I want your house.
If I get you out of the way, I can have
it. I want your house. And look, there's a longer history. You know, we sent people to Guantanamo from Afghanistan after we put a bounty on the Taliban so that one goat herd would look at the land of his neighbor goat herd and say, I would like to have his land. And he goes down and talks to the Americans, gets $5,000, and they come and they grab the other goat herd in the middle of the night, stick a bag over his head and a diaper on his ass, and he wakes up in Cuba.
Yeah. Yeah. But see, somebody like James O'Keefe, because he's young, you know, he sees himself as a neoconservative witch finder general. And, you know, he's going to do his version of Hopkins, and he's going to run around the village. He's going to run around the town. And he's going to find the witches. And if he has to lie a little bit, if he has to torture people a little bit, if he has to, you know, pay people to give false witness in order to be able to get his fee later on, and then we understand it wasn't even about the money anymore. It just got to be about the fact that he couldn't find any witches. So he had to start making them. Because three girls told a goddamn, well, in the case of Salem, three girls told a lie and got this slave killed. They got how many people killed until they got to the governor's wife, and then they're like, okay, no, that's got to be wrong because she's of the wrong social class. And then at the end, they blame the devil for all of the confusion. So when we have a case like Tawana Brawley, I believed Tawana Brawley. I certainly goddamn did. I was out on the street fucking protesting for her, but she didn't have evidence to fucking back up what the fuck she was saying. And then it came out that people who were part of the inner circle said that they knew that she wasn't telling the truth, but it had gone too fucking far to stop. And at this point, everybody was trying to fucking save face. Bill Cosby, who we can talk about, put up money and then back down. She had the entire fucking community behind her from coast to coast. And then after it came out that she wasn't telling the truth, black women who said that they were being attacked by white men, nobody was listening to them. Nobody would take these cases seriously. Many of them were thrown out on the basis of the Tawana Brawley case. And that's how, you know, Project Veritas is being able to do what it's doing. Because people believe in, you know, well, hey, if a woman is saying this, there's no need to verify anything. They're just going to go ahead and report this. And this way we can twist the narrative the way that we want. And thankfully, the Washington Post does its, you know, its diligence. So that wasn't the case. But what are we going to do in a situation like this?
And that's the problem. You know, we talk about proof and we talk about accusations. But what we can't talk about is charges and judges and juries. I mean, take, for instance, you know, it finally after the great newsgasm over Matt Lauer of yesterday. And again, I just pointed out that while he sucked all the oxygen out of the room in the news cycle yesterday, that, you know, I still believe Anita Hill. And I think if there's injustice,
there's no reason not to.
We can start with Anita Hill and start with, you know, if, you know, why finish? But, you know, if we could maintain a cogent, coherent strategy and campaign, job one would be pressuring Clarence Thomas off the Supreme Court.
Yeah, but they'll fight tooth and nail to keep him on, and you know why. Because, matter of fact, you know what? You know what, Brother Bob? Let's talk about Anita Hill. Let's fucking talk about Anita Hill. I'm going to tell you something slick that people outside the black community really have no clue. They sold us a bill of goods that Anita Hill was full of shit. And I'm going to tell you how the fuck they did it. Because I was part of, I'm admitting this. I was young. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. There was no internet. I knew what the fuck I was told, right? The fucking papers around me was saying that, hey, and the current in the black community was Anita Hill was one of these stuck up broads that, you know, she can't take a joke, you know, an adult joke and shit like that. That is what was passed. And they pushed to us, we got to have a black person on the Supreme Court. We got to have a black person on the Supreme Court. If we get a black person on the Supreme Court, man, then everything is just going to, you know, we're going to get that power, man. We're going to work things out. This is what the black Republicans came into the community and told us, that she was a school mom, that she was stuck up, that blah, 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 that she was afraid of, you know, a strong black man, which is represented by Clarence Thomas. Of course, they didn't tell us that Clarence Thomas's wife was white. We found that out in the community after he got motherfucking, after he got not nominated, but after he was seated. Now, for people who want to say that I'm full of shit out there, wait a fucking minute. Alabama, somebody, I just saw this on Twitter this afternoon. Someone said that they stopped people on that, in that, black folks in that Alabama, to ask them about the Roy Moore motherfucking contest, that they didn't know that there was an election. That's today. They said that they didn't know that there's a fucking election. I've had black people tell me they don't give a fuck about net neutrality. And this is why we have crawls, my brother, because you have no fucking access to any real information. You know, you don't fucking even want it. And that's a problem. We didn't know that Anita Hill was fucking being, you know, fucked with. And basically, to keep her goddamn job, she put up with Clarence Thomas's bullshit. They didn't tell us that he was an anti-black motherfucking black conservative. They didn't tell us that. They didn't tell us that the Black Panther Party, we found this shit out later, that the Black Panther Party in his area had paid for him to go to college, had actually went to court to get him into school. He didn't, he's like my father, Gullah. He didn't speak English till he was about 15, 16 fucking years old. But he went all the way to the other end, and they sold us a total bullshit motherfucking bill of goods. And when I say the black people today that still hate Anita Hill, do you know that she took a series of polygraphs, even though they don't hold up in the court of law for a good reason? But the
yeah, I do. I do know that.
More in her motherfucking story to make sense. Huh?
I do know that.
You know, I mean, she had all of the facts on her side. But we didn't know this until after the fucking fact. And then after he got on, nothing could be done. Nothing could be done. What I'm trying to point out here is that, you know, O'Keefe was able to do this, and Obama and Roy Moore are able to do this because we're letting them. We're not looking at shit critically. We're looking to punish. And we have a really punitive society that's not trying to fix a goddamn thing, but, you know, we'll lock you the fuck up and then come up with a TV show called Orange is the New Black to impress upon you that this is just a lifestyle choice when you're poor. It's just a lifestyle choice, and it's a choice that you make. Your poverty and how the system puts you into that shit and how a lot of those women got in there and, you know, the victims of sexual motherfucking abuse. But see, we're not going to discuss that because Orange is the New Black is a good fucking show, man. And, you know, Abby, why can't you just be cool and look at the actresses, man, these black actresses that are getting, you know, some play. And I'm like, yeah, a play doing what? Normalizing what should never be fucking normalized. In the meantime, you know, the fake ass Rick Ross, who takes the name, you know, and an ex-corrections officer takes the fucking moniker of a fucking real drug dealer that did real damage out here in the black community, you know, he can fucking talk about putting a sedative in a woman's drink and he still has a fucking career. You know, they get mad about R. Kelly every now and again, but R. Kelly shouldn't have had a motherfucking career once we found out what the fuck was up with him. And I still get people defending them to me. And then we look at how this worked out again with 12 Years a Slave. Look, the man came out and said, yeah, I did this. I've been prosecuted for it already. You know, I'm willing to fucking talk about it. And I, you know, I understand the black women were mad. But see, I understand that he brought up, you know, sexual assault in the slavery period in the film. So now, because of his connection to sexual assault, we're not watching the film any fucking more. We're not looking at the film. We're not even having a discussion. That was the time for a discussion. We're not having that discussion.
Well, what I was going to say a minute ago, when I mentioned Matt Lauer sucking all the air out of the room yesterday. Well, today, and you know, it took a full 48 hours to do. Today, lo and behold, we get a statement from Matt Lauer. And I don't, these stories are not nearly as compelling as they're made out to be, but there are aspects of them that are worth pondering, worth thinking about, Angry. And this is one of them. Why did it take 48 hours for Matt Lauer to issue a statement? Care to make a guess? Because that's how...
I'm listening. What was the reason?
Because that's how long it takes the lawyers to figure out the liability exposure that he has.
Oh, well, fuck. When a cop shoots a black person, they got 72 hours to fucking perfect their lie.
It's kind of the same.
And I'm not saying that this is a serious case, but we've been trying to get that out there for how long?
So Matt Lauer today issues a statement that says... Well, not everything about all these allegations is true, but enough of them are that I am ashamed and sorry and embarrassed. The only way a man with that much wealth is going to be allowed to say anything resembling that is if his lawyer or team of lawyers has already determined that the statutes of limitations that are applicable in the case have already run. So that he cannot be sued for anything. And so that and after they've determined that there will be no criminal charges out of all of this. Because that's the thing that lurks in the background of all of this. Is that so Al Franken is going to be subjected to an adversarial process. It's not going to be a trial. But at his own request, Al Franken's going to be subjected to an adversarial process that has already begun inside the Senate Ethics Committee.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So there will be some degree of proof. There will be a standard of proof. There will be fact-finding. The things that we associate with actually trying to determine the truth or falsity of an allegation. Whether it be sexually or related, or whether it be, you know, pilferage or larceny or murder, okay, there will be some kind of adversarial proceeding. There's not going to be an adversarial fact-finding proceeding with regard to Matt Lauer. There may or may not be with Harvey Weinstein. The British authorities launched some kind of an investigation with regard to Kevin Spacey, but mostly no, and in particular,
well, Terry Crews filed charges too, I understand.
And in particular,
the male actor, he filed Crews.
Yeah, but in particular, there will be no adversarial proceeding whatsoever with regard to Roy Moore, and Roy Moore is the ground zero of all of this. Yes, Harvey Weinstein. Yes, Kevin Spacey. Yes, that other skeevy, gross director and any number of people who have been mentioned. But there will be no adversarial proceeding. And that means...
They're picking and choosing. Yeah.
And it means something in regard to Roy Moore, because what he is alleged to have done, the statute of limitations ran either 2 years after it happened or 2 years after the young woman turned 18. And that's something that lawyers can argue over in Alabama and has to do with Alabama law. And I don't know anything about Alabama law, but there's not going to be any criminal trial. There could be an adversarial proceeding. And this is worth noting, Angry, if Roy Moore filed suit and look, he's not poor. This guy was running a 501c3 gospel hustle that was netting him and his wife a salary of north of $1 million a year. All right? Roy Moore ain't out there eating beans. And he's damn sure got... he operates in that realm where the Liberty Lobby and Matt Staver, you know, the guy who gave free lawyering to Sister Clerk Kim Davis... Well, they'd be bosom buddies, and I'm sure they'd be happy to provide free lawyer and to Roy Moore, and it's all tax free. Hallelujah. Okay.
Yeah, but hold on for but hold on for a second, because even though
I'm not done.
Oh, dude.
Roy Moore could initiate an adversarial procedure where there would be actual fact-finding, where there would be a jury to hear the case, where there would be examination and cross-examination and opening statements and closing arguments. Roy Moore could initiate all of that. And instead of simply calling these women liars in the press, he could have a proceeding with a level playing field and rules and everything necessary to get as close to the truth as our judicial system allows itself to get. But again, and maybe people are tired of hearing this, I think this is a tack that needs to be countersunk. Roy Moore will not file any lawsuit. Because in the particular case of what he would be suing over, there is one longstanding and unchanging and unchallengeable aspect. And that is a legal tenet that states truth is an absolute defense. In other words, if the jury hears all this and determines that the women or woman or women are telling the truth, then Roy Moore loses and spends the rest of his days marked as a kiddie diddler. And he will never, Roy Moore will never, ever, ever, ever run that risk, because Roy Moore knows what Roy Moore did.
Well, yes. While I'm with you and I understand all of this, the legalities, the criminal charges, you know, this, that, and the other, the fucking bottom line is, if this was Keith Ellison we were talking about, there would be no due process. There would be no none of this. There would be no hearings. There would be a short talk with a fucking lawyer, and they would be sending his black ass to prison. And let me tell you, when you go in there as a motherfucking Chester, your life is hell. There is no fucking watching TV calmly and shit and reading the goddamn book. That's bullshit. You know, what I'm trying to say is, yeah, you know, I'm pointing out that there are rules in place. I mean, Trump has how much impeachable shit has he done this week? How much did he do before 10 o'clock in the morning yesterday? The public is still letting him get away with this. The fact that Roy Moore was fucking banned from a mall, a public fucking mall, because he was a predator, because he was banned from a goddamn YMCA or YWCA, whatever the fuck it was. He met his own fucking wife when she was 15. How much more fucking information, how much more shit do we need? It is what it is.
Well, but you and I don't need any more.
Yeah, but
because you and I look at these things.
Look at Brock Turner.
You and I look at these things fairly dispassionately. But the obverse to that coin is that it doesn't matter if there was video footage of Roy Moore doing that to the little girl. The evangelicals and the Christian Republicans in Alabama would not care.
No, they don't care. They accept it. They're already making up excuses about Jesus to excuse this. Bringing up all kinds of shit to excuse this. The same arguments they make against Islamist fundamentalists. They're now saying, well, it's different when it's Christian. It's okay. You know, hey, it's completely okay. I mean,
right,
hey, you know, look at
Jesus,
the difference.
Because Jesus has forgiven.
Yeah, but I thought that his father wasn't his father. I thought his father was the father. So they threw out their religious beliefs to support a motherfucking freak. Not a good freak. A predatory fucking freak.
Well, they didn't really,
okay?
Angry, they didn't really throw him out.
The shit that they
didn't really throw him out. They've never had him to begin with. It's all a facade.
They never had it again.
It's
right?
all just it's all just so, a very Nietzschean will to power.
But we're letting this go. I get tired of people, and I'm not talking about you, but I'm saying I get tired of folks who are like, well, we can't really do anything, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what do you mean you can't do anything? If this was somebody else, look at the goddamn Brock Turner case. Brock Turner is a fucking little punk-ass, weaselly-looking fucking white kid. I'm not saying that to be racial. Look at his fucking picture. Looks like he couldn't punch his way out of a goddamn paper fucking bag. He got a drunk girl who couldn't fucking respond behind a goddamn dumpster on the street. He didn't even do the full fucking thing that they gave him, which was light to begin with. The same judge gave a Mexican male who is the same age as Brock Turner, who did exactly the same thing that Brock Turner fucking did, behind a dumpster in the fucking street. That's been 30 years. But we don't know what to do. We're confused. We don't see that there's a double standard here. And that double standard is being used by Project Veritas. That double standard is being abused by Bush. I mean, not sorry, by Bush, by Trump. You know, one stupid president was enough. And then we got this motherfucker. I mean, that shit in front of Andrew Jackson's painting. And the fact that these three men had to just fucking take that. I've never seen an insult to my fucking people like that ever. In history, there is no fucking American president, even goddamn Jackson, that has insulted us that motherfucking bad. I don't know what to do. Is he a racist? Well, I don't know. You know, Pocahontas, wasn't she a real person? No, she was. Yeah, she was a real person. She was actually a goddamn child and shit that was kidnapped by fucking white colonialists and then, you know, basically brainwashed and fucking taken to England.
And died of smallpox.
We just got into the fucking... Yeah, you know, we just got into the shit about Thomas and Sally. We're still fucking talking about Thomas and Sally. Matter of fact, Garrison Keillor, Prairie Home Companion, he had a song about Thomas and Sally that wasn't very funny. But we waited until he got hit with a sexual assault charge after the door had been opened. That is okay now. That this is what we're going to do now. That we're going to go after all of these fucking cases after letting these motherfucking guys ball out of control. We're going to fucking go after this shit. And we're going to pick and choose who we're going to go after. But the president, well, no, not him. Roy Moore, no, not him, not him. And you can't tell me that there's a whole bunch of other rich motherfuckers up at their goddamn level that have been doing the same shit, but they're not looking at them yet, right? They're picking and choosing. They're picking and choosing, which means that it doesn't mean any goddamn thing. If Trump can fucking get away with this shit and Roy Moore can get away with this, telling men, oh, yeah, well, don't do this when we go after some motherfuckers and not after others. And then we look at who we're not going after and who we're going after. Yeah. You know, Weinstein, if he had never given fucking millions of dollars to the DNC, we wouldn't be hearing his motherfucking name.
And if, in fact, he were not in the twilight of his power.
Well, that's the other thing.
Because this crap was known about when he was at the height of his power, and it was hushed up to the point that there was only the only way to mention it was by making jokes about it.
Well, they said that Newsweek sat on a story about Trump admitting that he had, you know, a physical attraction to his daughter at, you know, at whatever age she was at the time. I think she was 13, and I can't remember. Right now, reporter it got shelved. The report went up, but they left that information out. So it was not like this hasn't been discussed. He's talked about this. He's talked about this, but nobody knows what to do. If that was you, if that was any left-wing, you know, just, I don't want to name anybody, because you know, anybody. Do you fucking think that they wouldn't be calling out all the goddamn stops? Conyers? They're calling for him to fucking, okay, fine, do that. But then how are you going to do that and have Trump stand there and point fingers at every fucking buddy else? How are you going to let him get away with that? And that's like going after all the little fucking stupid ass drug dealers on the corner when you know that the fucking guy sitting in the goddamn coffee shop right there is the man. All he's going to do is replace these motherfuckers tomorrow. He's still going to sit there in his goddamn coffee shit and pay off his motherfucking corrupt cops. It's not stopping a goddamn thing. If they fucking go after Trump for this shit, that's making a goddamn statement. But to fucking go after these others and not fucking go after him is some bullshit, because that is what Project Veritas was running on. And we got to understand how they're setting us up, because we're not motherfucking really being objective about shit. We're not really motherfucking asking ourselves, how do we let it get this goddamn far? Racism is the same shit. How do we let it get this far? Oh, this isn't who we are. What the fuck do you mean this isn't who we are when he calls people Pocahontas in front of, you know, native goddamn vets?
That's the thing. People, yeah, I heard that. I heard that too. This isn't who we are. Yeah, it is. That's the whole problem. It is who we are.
It is.
And there was something, I'm looking for it now.
And the same thing with men.
I have not yet found it. There's another revelation about Trump. And it had to do with an article in a Trump interview with a golf magazine that has since folded. An interview of Trump, you know. And it was, again, oh, there it is, yes. Maria Solis has the story over at Newsweek. During an interview for the since-shuttered Maximum Golf magazine, Trump referring to a young socialite at his Mar-a-Lago resort, you know, just a young, beautiful woman, somewhere within his view, the guy he's giving an interview to, he looks at him and says, "There's nothing in the world like first-rate pussy." The guy who did the interview is named Michael Corcoran. When he submitted the article to Maximum Golf, his editor said, "Nope, that can't go in." But the Daily Beast got hold of it and reached out to both the editor and Michael Corcoran, and they said, "Oh, yeah, that's real. That's absolutely real." This guy is engaged in something called pattern and practice.
Yeah, but even then, and like I said, you know, let's be real. I've been in locker rooms. I've had blue-collar jobs most of my young life and shit. You know, that is common goddamn language. A lot of fucking nice guys say that shit, but they're not stupid enough to say it to a goddamn reporter or in front of
I played high school football very badly. And I was in locker rooms for the better part of my years in high school. And yeah, those are young men learning to use their dirty words. I never heard anything.
Get over that after a while.
Heard anything. And you know, we're talking about little redneck boys, okay? I never heard anything even remotely like what was said, not in a locker room, but on a bus.
Oh, I have. I didn't grow up with redneck boys, you know. I don't know, and a lot of people have been telling me this, and it's kind of starting to sound a lot like apartheid. Oh, I was never with apartheid. Were things that bad? I don't really remember. I never discriminated against anybody. I know a fair amount of South Africa was apartheid, and the same thing with a lot of men. Oh, I never heard talk like that in my life. Oh, I've never been anything. You were in the fucking Marine Corps. What the fuck do you mean?
I've heard guys use that word. Most of the time in that locker room that I was in as a kid, young man, it was used not in terms of describing any girls or women. It was used by guys as a weapon word against other guys. It was a football team, after all. Don't be you're a,
you grew up in a nice
what
place.
It wasn't any nicer than anywhere else. Because
I heard different, Bob.
It's not like we lived in gated communities. My locker room was damn sure integrated as all hell.
Well, like I said, I don't know. I have to be honest. I've worked on the docks. I've worked in factories. Even when I got into the offices, the language could be really goddamn bad. And when I was working on the docks, it was probably the worst fucking experience I had. Because first off, I had to work with a bunch of people who never read any fucking books. And then I had to deal with the fact that every time a woman walked past our job site, I don't give a fuck how old she was. I don't give a fuck what she looked like. They had something derogatory and fucked up to say. The entire fucking crew. So, frankly, I'm of the thing when I hear a lot of men say, I didn't do that and I don't remember hearing that. I'm like, I don't know where the fuck you were. Because I've been like, the former FBI guy, Comey. I'm going to say the same shit. I've been around a lot of humans over the fucking decades. And I have a hard time. You know, it's like when people say, a Christian would never do this. Well, black people in Greek would never do this.
I'm not saying I haven't been around coarse language. I mean, I spent a summer in college doing roofing work with a couple of guys from Chicago who could make an entire division of sailors and Marines blush. Sure. I'm not saying I was some sort of shrinking violet. I personally find such language detestable and disgusting. And I've never been prone to use it. Use other vulgar language? Sure. Use it on this program all the time. But that kind of said, no, not so much. Not by a long shot. But the fact of the matter is, again, they can call that stuff locker room talk till hell freezes over. What that was for Donald Trump was bus talk. Okay? And then the nerve of him to come out and say, well, you know, that was fake too. You know, what was that Hillary doing her Jedi mind trick Donald Trump impression into a microphone there, dimwit Donnie?
Yeah, but he said it was him. So to allow him away with
right now
fake,
he says
bullshit.
It wasn't. It was fake. It was, everything's fake. Everything I don't like is fake. The guy's coming apart. His brain is coming apart at the seams. I'm not. I have never, and I'm not gonna until they do. You know, get around to determining it one way or the other. I'm convinced the man has tertiary neurosyphilis. His brain is rotting before our eyes. That's why that stuff comes leaking out of the White House. That there has been some sort of a tectonic shift in his mental processes. That he's not okay.
Well, it is stress. It's just stress. Everybody ages in that role. They all come out looking fucked up, like they've been through the ringer and shit after coming out of doing their term. You know, that's just what it is. He did not think he was gonna have to do any fucking work. He did not go into this shit seriously. It was a fucking fluke. They realized Stephen Bannon, all of these Manafort, all these motherfuckers behind him. We have an idiot here who just wants to be big man. He just wants to be number one. So tell him what the fuck he wants. In the meantime, he'll sign off on what the fuck we want. It's not rocket science to understand what the fuck is happening. And that's why we don't know what the fuck to do. Because we're never, and I'm just saying this, because we're pals and we talk about this shit. But you always talk about the rules. But you're talking about the rules about people who don't give a fuck about the rules. Roy Moore can have whatever goddamn hearings, administrative, legal, whatever the fuck. The people in his town said we want him because he hates black people and he supports the Bible. That's the bottom fucking line. And we are fucking being disingenuous with ourselves to not say that we're being pushed into this position because we're being bullied. And we don't want to admit that we're fucking being bullied.
He has indeed.
He's
engaged,
a playground goddamn politics.
He's engaged in some, he's definitely engaged in some, dog whistle racist politics. I do disagree with you, though. I think the vast majority of the people who are increasing their support of him are doing so out of, one, plain old-fashioned cussedness, because they've got that in rich abundance
course,
there. Sure. But secondarily,
sure. I've been down there. I got family.
The thing that's motivating him angry, more than an issue of race, because remember, he's traveling around with black pastors, okay?
But I just finished telling you, Brother Bob, black people on the street don't even know that there's an election. 3 out of 7 didn't know that there's an election. They don't even know who Roy Moore is.
I didn't gainsay you on that. But the people who are supporting him are primarily motivated by the precious little fetuses.
No, they're not.
Look at the numbers.
That's what they're saying. They're going out there because they want their own piece of the pie. They want to be on TV, too. They want a bigger house. And they know that if they can get this racist white man in office, that they'll get a cut. That's why. They don't give a fuck about
You're telling me some poor white trash thinks he's going to be better off if Roy Moore gets to the Senate. That he all of a sudden he's going to be up to his eyeballs in Frisbees and wheat checks.
Yep.
See, I don't buy it.
Yep. Because that's what I'm hearing from the white people around me. I don't care if he takes away this, that, and the other. I want my America back.
Yeah, that's what I said when I said it was a Nietzschean will to power situation. They want to maintain.
They wouldn't even understand that, man.
They want to maintain power. They don't give a fig about the morality or the ethics of the person as long as they can have power. Jesus Christ, this is George Wallace's Alabama, okay? Power. George Wallace himself, for Christ's sakes, lost an election and said, I will never be out N-worded again. And that was his evolution as a race baiter because it gave him power. And since 1865, in the South, it has been about the reacquisition of power, because in the years before the Civil War, oh God, he's on the Civil War again. In the years before the Civil War, the South exercised a disproportionate amount of power within the federal government. That's why for 10 years, at least probably that long, I've been talking about the cold Civil War in this country. Because it is. And now it gets hot every now and then. You know, when some Christian who's stockpiled a few thousand rounds of ammunition decides to take out, you know, a country music concert or a movie theater.
Well, that's the only time people really look. And you know, I used to be involved in direct action. There's always been things going on. The news, there was no internet back then. Not until somebody gets beaten to death with a bat in Portland, or somebody gets killed up at the Branch Davidian, them too. But I'm thinking about Idaho and Wyoming and shit like that. And the FBI comes out. That's the only time, you know, the mainstream news ever really paid attention. You had the goddamn Order, a white supremacist group from Washington State. They were bawling up and down the Pacific Northwest, robbing banks, doing murder for hire, you know, killing people, doing all kinds of robberies to fund the white supremacist movement. The newspapers did absolutely nothing about it. The FBI was after these guys, but it was never reported. Which is something else we need to talk about. It's not like, oh, they pop up every now and again. No, they've never gone away. I mean, the FBI now says that they won't even share information with local police agencies. Why? Because so many goddamn police agencies are infiltrated with white supremacists, they don't trust where the information is going. This is the FBI, but we don't know what to do. As a black person who of Native descent, it's hard to tell me, oh, I don't know, we don't know what to do. There's rules and laws and got a goddamn constitution that they apply when they want to. When they want to. You're from Appalachia, so it's not like you don't get this too. They don't give a fuck about your folks. They don't give a damn about any of us. But there is a pecking order.
Hey, Angry, look, man, yesterday Don Blankenship announced that he's going to run for Senate on the Republican ticket, baby.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how many thousands of West Virginians will vote for Don Blankenship in the Republican primary?
But why? Why? You know, I mean, I can ask that question, and of course they'll give me answers, but why? Why?
He doesn't give
a damn about anybody down.
Because he's gonna bring back coal even better than Trump bring back coal. Him and Trump together can bring back coal real goodly. And everybody gonna have a coal job and black lung and benefits. Shit.
But see, again, this is what I'm talking about. You just explain what I'm talking about. In my own community, we You know, if you ask people, well, hey, man, you know, what are you going to do? What do you mean? Well, you know, I see things are hard here. You know, I can loan you some money in the meantime or help you out. But, you know, what do you do? Oh, man, you know, God will provide for cancer, man. You know, what can we really do? Oh, well, God will take care of it. That total, the jobs will come back. Coal, you know, get rid of the immigrants. The jobs will come back.
Somewhere in Alabama this weekend, and God knows somewhere all over this country this weekend on a Sunday, a preacher will stand in a pulpit, lots of preachers will stand in pulpits, and they will say, hear me, this is the word of God. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and return unto me, I will make them a great nation. I know this stuff. And so it's magical thinking, okay? They don't like the evangelical Christians, they don't like witches and sorcerers and warlocks and whatnot, but it's still magical thinking.
Yep.
And it's an incantation. So all they got to do is do everything that the preacher says they got to do, and like I said before, it's all going to be Frisbees and Wheat Chix. And, of course, that all begins with protecting the precious little fetuses. And that's how they get the rubes. Now, the ones who are pulling the strings,
they don't
give a shit. The ones who are pulling the strings and have the power are interested only in the money and the power, otherwise known as the power and the glory.
What's the name of that pastor? I just had it on the tip of my tongue. He's a Trump backer. He shows up on MSNBC. He shows up on Fox. And you know, he just... I hate to hear him because it's just mush mouth. And no matter what question they ask him about Trump, well, is Trump supportive of white supremacists? I looked in his heart and, you know, these motherfuckers don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in their Jesus. They don't believe in black people. They're out there for their goddamn selves. I've been fucking on the street level of this fucking bullshit for too long. None of these, Reverend Al Sharpton, all of them, they don't give a fuck. And they come out there, and like I said, they came out there and told us that Anita Hill was a liar.
Well, get this.
They're the ones that are out there fucking telling us Trump is going to do us a favor.
Here's a lovely little example, Angry. So there's a preacher in Alabama. His name's Reverend Bill Atkinson. And at a recent campaign event, he stepped up and he sang a godly song for Roy Moore. Well, back in 2012, the Reverend Bill Atkinson was, according to Alabama.com, was found guilty of obstruction and conspiracy for ordering two of his children to destroy a hard drive of a digital video recorder that held evidence that incriminated his boy in child molestation.
Yeah, yeah, just in... It's your link, didn't I? Yeah. Oh, yeah. But family values, though.
And some family values.
You know, family values. I had a friend that I had to visit you know, who got beaten up by some motherfuckers. He was gay. Beat him and his boyfriend. Put them both in the fucking hospital. And, you know, I went there. And there were some people in the hallway who were the relatives of not my pal, but, you know, his friend. They weren't a couple, but they were together when this happened. And, you know, this woman is in the hall is saying, you know, if they were right with God, this wouldn't have happened.
And those kind of people are evil. And let's remember that, you know, we tend to focus on the Weinstein effect, but this stuff all really gets legs because of what happened with people like Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly over at Fox. Okay, so everybody's still talking.
Exactly.
Everybody's still talking about Matt Lauer and Charlie Rose and Garrison Keillor, et cetera, et cetera. But there's one more to add into this, and there's actually a video clip of it going way back in time. Bette Midler, who is now 72 years old, who has never been one to be shy about sexuality. I mean, remember, she got her start in the bathhouses, and her piano player was Barry Manilow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Because the Goddess of Irony works, well, she works hard, and she's probably got projects. When the Matt Lauer issue broke, the guy who we all know as Geraldo Rivera, but used to just refer to himself as Jerry Rivers before he was famous. Well, it was back in the early 70s. Well, Geraldo came out and said, you know, this business we work in is a flirty business. Matt Lauer may be getting a raw deal. He did this on Twitter. They're criminalizing.
He had a button on his desk to lock his door.
They're criminalizing courtship and conflating it with predation. Courtship, really, in the workplace? We're gonna wear our Sunday go to meeting suit and put a carnation in our lapel, Uncle Jed, and go a courting? Got my bowler hat. So when somebody like Matt Lauer flips his dick out at a woman, that's just courtship ritual, according to Geraldo Rivera. But he put all that filth out on Twitter, and along comes Bette Midler. And lo and behold, she's got a video clip of an interview that she gave to Barbara Walters. And in that video, she describes, well, she says this: Geraldo and his producer came to do an interview with me in the early 70s. And he and his producer left the crew in the other room. They pushed me into my bathroom. They broke two poppers open and pushed them under my nose and proceeded to grope me. Geraldo may have apologized for his tweets supporting Matt Lauer, but he has yet to apologize for this. Now,
man, I've heard about.
Are they going to run Geraldo out over this? No, hell no.
No. Nope. 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 And when I said what I said, I'm not saying that Geraldo Rivera is gay. I heard that he had a run-in with Mick Jagger one time.
Oh,
so
there's
I mean,
lot,
it's one of those rock and roll rules, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of Mick Jagger stories out there.
Yeah, well, I heard he got away from, you know, but it was, you know, I mean, is that going to come up? You know, how far is this going to go in some situations? And what they're doing and what he just did is to what? Okay, a lot of people do meet at work. A lot of people actually do find their life partners at work. But there's a big difference between meeting somebody, developing a fucking relationship, however the fuck you do it, you know, and as opposed to what Matt Lauer's of having a button set up on his desk where he can lock the woman into the room, you know, where supposedly he has flashed and where this other motherfucker's flashed. That, yeah, that's not goddamn courtship. But what is they're taking the normal course of things, you know, what should be the normal course of things anyway, and trying to say, okay, this is the same as that. Somebody did that with me when Bill O'Reilly got fired, talking about, well, he was having an argument with his wife. Look, a lot of us have had disagreements with our wives. We don't grab them by the fucking throat and throw them down a flight of stairs in front of our children. Well, you can say what you want. Families have. Do you kind of get where I'm going with this?
Oh, yeah.
And we let the fucking far right do this. We let the far right do this. So here you have Franken, who's obviously admitting to whatever the fuck, say, yeah, I was crass. And no, I'm not going to quit. Because, well, frankly, I'm embarrassed and I deserve it. You know, some of the other fucking guys, not all of them, I mean, there's new two or three names every goddamn day, who are like, okay, I got a problem. You know, whatever the fuck excuse they use or whatever they say, you know, Louis C.K., I have a problem. Trump hasn't said anything other than they're all fucking liars. Roy Moore hasn't said anything other than they're all fucking liars. And you got reporters who are part of that milk who are out there looking for dirt on these women. Anything to discredit what the fuck they're saying. And not looking at the fact that how do you have this bullshit going on for so long and nobody says anything? Nobody really wants to ask.
And let's understand, one thing.
Because we don't want to have that.
For every day that Donald Trump continues to get by with what he's getting away with relative to the accusations and allegations that have been made, every member of Congress who does not speak up becomes an enabler of it. And herein lies the problem as it comes from Randy and PA. This could take out half of the Congress.
Mm-hmm. That's a possibility. There's a whole lot of
that has a lot to do with why a lot of people probably aren't coming forward and saying that Donald Trump needs to be held to account. And this is
might be a part of it.
And this is a problem with the nation in broad form. Oh, I'm sorry. You economically anxious Rust Belt white couple. Of course you're not a Klansman. Of course you're not a Nazi. Of course you don't commit sexual abuse and sexual assault. Of course you're not a xenophobe. Of course you're not a homophobe. But you voted for one, and that means you're okay with it. Because everything you can say about a Republican Moore voter in Alabama can be said about any goddamned Trump voter in the entire United States of America, Angry, period. Isn't that true?
Yeah, I agree. But let me throw out a hypothetical just for this discussion. Imagine if Obama was hit with charges. With allegations like this, at the same period in his first term that Trump's in now, how do you think that would have been dealt with? You think he would have, you know, been able to continue? See, I don't, and that's one of the arguments that I have with this.
Hey, look,
is that, you know, there's
had some high quality first rate policy ideas. Remember John Edwards and the two Americas? Well, the two Americas thing was true. But John Edwards got run because he had a heterosexual affair that resulted in the birth of a child. Hey, they didn't abort the kid. She had the baby. But John Edwards' political life, over. Remember Gary Hart?
That was my... The next one I was going to mention, Gary
Hart.
Photos on the yacht.
Hart's political career was ended over a mere photo of a woman sitting on his lap on a boat. Everybody had clothes on.
But they had what party?
Right.
They got mad when Clinton was photographed by somebody from one of these TMZ, like whatever, from paparazzi. They were on vacation. It was his second term in office, like in the middle of his second term. He and Hillary were on vacation somewhere, I believe, in the West Indies. They were actually behind some bushes, and they were hugging, kissing, maybe, you know, making out. And the Republicans could talk about how Clinton couldn't keep his penis in his pants. You know, look, he can't keep his hands off her. Wait a minute, you're angry with him for fucking, then you're angry with him for not fucking. It's like, which is it? Which is it?
Well, see, they just wanted to be invited to watch.
Oh, they wanted to get him out of office, and they didn't give a damn how they did it, and they got Ken Starr, and he didn't find any goddamn thing.
And you know the funniest thing about all of that? If you take a long, hard look at the history of this country at that juncture, say 1993, the effective difference that would have been made...
Generous doing that.
the effective difference that would have been made by Bill Clinton not winning the 1992 presidential election, given everything that came after in the Bill Clinton presidency, there wouldn't have been much difference if George H.W. Bush had won and served out a second term. And then maybe he runs in 96.
Well, see, I don't know.
Maybe Clinton runs in 96. I don't know. But NAFTA? We got NAFTA.
Yeah, but
we would have gotten NAFTA.
Bush were in... Yeah, that's what I'm getting ready to say. NAFTA and GATT could not, they couldn't get NAFTA and GATT through, but he got it through. He said that he was a pro-business candidate for day one. I remember this. I remember that almost nobody around me remembered that.
So we got Clinton.
Oh, he's black. He's going to help us out.
So we got Clinton and we got NAFTA. We would have gotten NAFTA under Bush.
And GATT.
We got Clinton and we got Clinton and we got welfare reform. Well, we would have gotten welfare reform under Bush.
That for sure.
We got Clinton and we got the consolidation of media under the Telecommunications Act of 1996. We would have gotten that under Bush. The only cogent argument you can make about the Bush Clinton difference is that you know, probably we would not have had the explosive bubble economy, the tech bubble economy of the 1990s under Bush, because that man couldn't tell a barcode.
Why do you say that?
He couldn't tell a barcode scanner from a head of broccoli.
If he had connections to them, he would have, because he had connections with Monsanto, and they skyrocketed after he got in.
There's an argument to be made that you might not have even had, and of course this is just the favorite parlor game of historians and amateur historians. There's an argument to be made that you wouldn't have gotten the Newt Gingrich contract on America, Republican House, if Bush had won that election.
Yeah, but it didn't do anything anyway. Newt Gingrich is just talking because he wants to sound like a big, important individual like Trump. I mean, what you see in Trump is what you see in Newt Gingrich. It's the same goddamn thing. The only difference is Gingrich reads a book or two, and he can write a book or two. But, you know, he's just as ridiculous as Trump. This is somebody who said that they should allow a few. Go on YouTube. I'll send you the link. Don't believe me. This is on C-SPAN. Newt Gingrich said to a packed goddamn audience, we should have allowed a few more terrorist attacks under the Reagan and Bush administrations because people thought that terrorism was over because there were no attacks. This is somebody who talks about family values and delivers divorce papers to his wife while she's suffering from cancer in the goddamn hospital.
Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely. The wife that he got via his adultery while he was screeching about Clinton's sexual hang-ups or you know, adventures. Well, she's the goddamned ambassador to the Holy See of St. Peter now. Like I said the other night.
And as somebody who was raised Catholic, can you believe that shit?
Like I said the other night, if I was Pope Frank, I would make her gargle with holy water every time she walks in the building.
But see, Brother Bob, this is what I'm talking about. I am probably as radical as you can goddamn be. But look, you don't throw the baby out with the goddamn bathwater. If you are going to send somebody to be an ambassador to the fucking, you know, to the goddamn Holy See, you do not send an adulterer, especially if you're going to be talking bullshit back home. You don't. You just goddamn don't. It's like people getting all excited over here in the black community about this chick.
They goddamn did. And all those family values Republican senators said, well, hell yeah, why not? Sure thing.
Yeah, because the rules don't apply to them and only apply to you and me. But like I said, we know we're so quick to throw things out. You get all these people, oh, man, you know, white racism is a motherfucker. You know, we can't do anything, da-da-da-da-da. And now they're all excited because this chick is with the prince. I'm like, that's funny, you know, because you didn't identify her as black last week on she's black because she's going to represent you in the royal family because this is going to change your life. How? In the meantime, Net neutrality is out the goddamn window. We have a young 16-year-old sister named Sitonia Brown, a young black woman who was sold as a goddamn sex slave in this country and who killed one of the men that was abusing her. She's in prison for life, but we can't talk, right? See, this is why I'm what, upset, miffed?
Well, sure, current, and
you know,
and,
how the fuck is, you know?
Yeah, and look, you know, there's something we
haven't... Sandra Bland, I mean, shit.
There's something we haven't even touched on. You know, we've been kind of single-minded about this particular issue, but to the extent that this program is a little bit of a time capsule for what's going on any given day, it's worth mentioning that Mavericky John McCain, who is currently undergoing treatment for brain cancer, with the best health care mm-hmm. that the people of the United States can give him, well, he's going to vote for the Senate Republican tax plan that's going to take away health care from, you know, ordinary Americans with brain cancer. As Carol Baker pointed mm-hmm. out a little bit ago on Facebook, she said, I guess he figures his chemo will trickle down to the rest of the cancer patients.
Hey, I heard yesterday they're cutting the funding for AIDS research and treatment.
Well, look what Marco Rubio said. That's out there, too. And it damned well deserves notice. He said, yeah, we're going to get these tax cuts through. And after that, we're going to come after Social Security and Medicare.
Oh, he came right out and said it? Well, at least he's honest about it. But see, as long, you know, like I said, you know, Bob, I understand where you're coming from with a lot of this. And, you know, I think this is why our discussions are good, because, you know, you will, you know, say, yeah, I'm hearing this, and I'm telling you what I'm hearing over here. And I'm hearing the Republicans around me of all the different shades, because they're not all white in Portland. And they're just like, hey,
I didn't even know there were any
when they
Portland.
Start cutting all this stuff. Yeah, they're out here. There's Mexican and black Republicans out here. I think that are on this. Quite a few Asians. So don't believe that that is not. And they get really, really angry with you when you talk about racism in the Republican Party. And he starts talking about the Democrats and the Klan. And he starts talking about Hugo Black and all this other shit that really doesn't mean a motherfucking thing. You know?
Robert Byrd was
but
in the Klan.
But they're out here saying, Robert Byrd was in the Klan and apologized for it too. And then went after the goddamn Klan. They don't talk about that, you know. In the meantime, fucking David Duke, Dr. David Duke, right? We got to give him credit for getting his doctorate through a mail order fucking university in Europe where he can't live anymore. He's been kicked out of several European countries. The EU, he's not welcome in the European Union. That's why he's back here trying to make a bid for some fucking attention, because nobody was listening to his ass over there. These motherfuckers, man. Let these things continue to fucking go on. False blame, allowing people to get confused. Matter of fact, we talked about this one time. It's a Russian term, hypernormalization. The idea that, you know, there's so many lies going around and that you feel so powerless that you can't deal with the fucking lies. You try to find a normality in it by just going along with things. Even when you know it's totally fucked up. Even when you know it's totally wrong. And yeah, I mean, yeah, everything has been centered on this shit, but how can people tell me, I don't know how they can do this. You're an immigrant. You've been here like 15 years, but you're going to vote Republican because the tax cut is going to help you. And I'm like, but it's only going to help people who are rich. No, no, no. It's for the poor people. You're just so angry. You don't understand. This is a good country. Trump is about everybody. He's not about separation. He's bringing us together. And you don't understand because you don't believe. You don't believe in him. I believe in him. What did you just finish saying about, you know, the mantra? The self, you know, the mantra. It's all going to work out if I keep saying this.
Oh.
If I keep going along with it.
Yeah,
if I just keep saying it.
Yeah. No, just do what the preacher says.
Sure. We don't want to apply this to politics because people, you know, we don't want to say, oh, I know what's going on. I know exactly what's going on. And then you talk to them for 2 minutes. You don't know a fucking thing about what's going on. And then they get mad. Well, I have an opinion.
Yes, you can have an opinion, but I'm asking you what your opinion is based on. Well, you're fucked up. Why am I fucked up? Because you're asking me what my opinion is based on. I have a right to my opinion. Nobody said you didn't have a right to your opinion. I'm asking you what the fuck is based on. You're telling me that the tax cuts are going to help poor people. Oh, fuck you. You're just one of those radicals. You going to tell me you're not getting into arguments like that at the Piggly Wiggly?
You'd be surprised. I mean, I talked to old underground coal miners and stuff, and it ain't coming back. It was bullshit anyway. Because those guys used to belong to a union before the union got broken. Okay, they're a different breed.
Yeah, they know.
And I don't want to go down this road. I'm still walking wounded from the purity wars. But what they say,
but that's part of what we're doing.
But I'm going to tell you what they say, and they are right or they are wrong. I think they're wrong. But they'll say, "That goddamn Trump is the biggest, dumbest son of a bitch I've ever heard in my life." But I could not bring myself to vote for that Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And no, yeah. I'm not going to get in a bar brawl waiting to check out at the Wiggling Pig. And you're never going to convince them. I personally, you know, I can look at any number of. We wouldn't be in the middle of a playground spat with the UK right now if Hillary Clinton was president. Okay. We would not be on the brink of World War III if nuclear war, if Hillary Clinton was president.
Well, we don't really know that.
We wouldn't
sure.
be waiting.
I don't know about that.
Well, I feel confident. Hillary Clinton never looked over around and said, "What's the point in having nuclear weapons if you can't use them?" She never said that. Only Trump.
No, she didn't. She just said, "We came, we saw, he died." You know,
yeah, and you know what? There were no nuclear weapons
as a thing, and she's dead.
And there were no nuclear weapons involved in that. Like I said, what we're facing.
No, but they're selling black people over there.
With the absence of an anti-war movement, we are facing a severe existential crisis. People wouldn't be worrying about whether or not they're going to have Social Security or Medicare or access to or being able to go to the doctor when they're sick if Hillary Clinton was president.
Well, we don't know about that.
I don't
that for sure either. Really?
Yeah, we do. We really do. We know that for absolute 157% sure. Because
how?
Anything any of those assholes had passed in the Congress would have landed on her desk and she would have vetoed it before it got to the table. She would have vetoed it floating in
maybe.
Air. I don't think there's no maybe about that.
I don't have the faith you have.
It's not a matter of faith. There's nothing to indicate
faith
that
have,
she,
because remember.
There's nothing to indicate. There's no evidence to suggest that she was inimical to people being able to go to the doctor when they're sick. I mean,
I didn't say she was going to cut the whole thing, but no, I'm not. To me, that's faith. To me, that's faith. You know, and you got to remember, I'm of color. She referred to us as super predators. I had to deal, and instead of if talking about it,
like I said, I'm still walking
and
wounded.
This bullshit.
I'm still walking wounded from the purity wars. So I really don't want to go down that road.
It's not the purity wars, Bob. A lot of people lost their lives because of that. A lot of men lost their freedom. It's not the purity wars. She didn't give a fuck about black people, her or her goddamn husband.
Well,
he also promised to let go of Leonard Peltier, and he didn't do that either. It's not the purity war.
Well, you know what? The fact of the matter is...
It's not the purity wars.
Well, it is angry. I'm not gonna sit here and talk about, you know... I'm not interested in talking about the sainthood of Bernie Sanders... Or the evil machinations of Hillary Clinton. I am saying with 100% certainty, we would not be in the mess we are in if a whole shit ton of people in this country had not goddamn well failed the one question quadrennial IQ test that we get a chance to take in this country. And that's all there is to it.
Well, all that's well and good. But if I can't go to the store without worrying about getting shot by a cop, why would I give a damn if we get lit up by nuclear war? Real talk.
Real talk? I can't go to the goddamn store without being worrying about being shot by a redneck, let alone the fucking cops.
And how often is that happening, Bob?
What do you mean, how often is that happening?
I get stopped by the cops on a...
I
get stopped by the cops on a regular basis. How often does that happen?
Well, the fact of the matter is, the last shooting we had here was with an AK-47, and, you know, more white-on-white crime. You're more likely to be shot by a tweaker or a meth head or a junkie where I am than you are to be shot by the cops. Because there's a lot more tweakers and meth heads and junkies.
You are. Where you are. You know, President Clinton would have sat by and said, yeah, give the police all the equipment, stay them in control, because we got to bring them to heel. You know, while we're talking about, you know, possible nuclear war, which, yeah, is a problem, but you also got the United States pushing people around all the goddamn time. So that causes this sort of thing. But now that she's torn up Libya,
I'm giving you a cowbell for that. We're talking about the possibility of nuclear war, which is a problem. That's the first cowbell of the evening,
it's a problem. Yeah. But if we're going to get lit up next week, and I get shot and dead by a cop days from now, why should I care? I got to worry about getting through the day. And Clinton is not his. And we're sitting here when she got the majority of the vote, and he didn't. But we don't know what to do.
There's a bunch of us who know what to do. The problem is not in the theory. The problem is in the execution.
And you can't do it because of what? Because they simply won't let you, even though the rules say that you have the right. We mean they. With the cops that are taking in people in goddamn wheelchairs.
I know what to do. What I mean is, I know what to do about changing this situation. But it requires everybody pulling in the same direction and not having a bunch of precious little steiniacs sitting there sawing at the goddamn rope.
And when the cops start hitting people, then what?
When you
start shooting people, then what?
Look, if they're going to do that, they're going to do that. You make it harder to do it. There is strength in numbers,
Occupy?
Is strength in unity.
Like Occupy?
Like whatever you want, like whatever reference you want to make.
No, what happened with Occupy? Occupy was exactly that. And what happened? Where is Occupy now? That was going to change the whole game, right?
I never bought into that. A movement that can't afford a goddamn microphone ain't going to change much of anything. A movement that doesn't
a lot more than that. The cops.
A movement that has no leader is not a movement.
Well, you know why they didn't have a leader. And that's the only reason why they're still alive, too, because the FBI found out that there were hits put on the people that they thought were the leadership. The only reason that the assassinations didn't go through, and this is the FBI saying this, is because they couldn't identify exactly who to hit because it was a leaderless movement. There was a reason why it was leaderless. And the FBI to this day has never admitted, they never came out and formally said who it is in that redacted file that was released to the public. Naomi Wolf has talked about this. So has Naomi Klein. This was a big issue on Democracy Now! For quite a while. Somebody put hits on those young people. And the FBI stopped the plot, but they never went after anybody. No one was ever prosecuted for this. So I'm asking again, after looking at what's going on in Catalonia, how far are you willing to go? Because people are going to get hurt. People are going to get massacred.
It's not going to go.
This entire system will change.
Dude, breathe. It's not going to happen. This is America. We don't do that.
Well, then all
we've
of
got,
this is academic.
We've got mortgages and car payments and insurance payments, and we only protest on weekends, and we're gone by Sunday, okay? There ain't going to be no velvet revolution in no United States of America. people aren't hungry enough.
Well, then,
and
by people, white people,
let me correct that. I said people aren't hungry enough. White people aren't hungry enough. Okay, when the belly rumbles, the brain will learn. Move your ass, your head will follow. Or move your head, your ass will follow. Hunger, brain, ass. This is a very effective fascist state. And there's nothing out there to indicate.
You have an argument from me about this. I've been writing for this.
There's nothing out there to indicate to me that there is any meaningful change on the horizon. It would be possible to change it politically, again, if everybody pulled in the same direction at the same time. But at present, we're not capable of that, which goes back to my initial thesis this evening. Where's the anti-war movement?
The anti-war movement is worried about getting his head busted. That's why it's not out there. And older people go out there thinking maybe we won't get hurt because we're older, and they're taking them in anyway, and they're being prosecuted,
where
and
they're
being sent to prison.
Where are they taking them in? I haven't seen an anti-war march since George W. Bush left office.
Upstate Pennsylvania.
I remember
parts of Ohio. I just saw yesterday.
I remember a couple in D.C. During the first Obama term.
Okay, let me put it to you this way. One of the things about the U.S. left that pisses me off, because we're having this debate now. Well, you know, there's a movement out there, and then I'll say, well, there is no movement. And then somebody will point out to me that six people did an action here. Two people did an action here. That's what's out there. And there's nobody. Yeah, a lot of people do have to go to work. A lot of people got to watch their kids and take care of their families and this, that, and the other. But the bottom fucking line is, and I've been out here too long, I know, is that what's the point in getting your goddamn head busted, going to jail, losing your job, not being able to pay your bills for the next 7 months because you got to pay all these goddamn fines, having your life turned upside down. I've known people who have lost their children because they were a professional, I hate to say professional activists, but this is what they did. This is what they did. Not for a living. This is what they did. They lose everything. And, you know, I'm at this point where it's like, I don't want to discount that anymore because they're out there doing it. But the bottom line is nobody's supporting them because they don't want to take the risk. After what happened with Occupy, everybody fucking realized if you really get a fucking movement going here and you get more than 100 fucking people that can meet regularly, they're going to fucking come down on you. First, they're going to infiltrate you. Then they're going to fucking come down on you. People were hurt in these goddamn occupied buildings.
I got to get out of here in a couple of minutes because it's time to wrap up. Let me at least offer you on the way out the door a little bit of hope. And it's going to come from a very strange place, Angry. The net neutrality business. I have long said that there will be no revolution in this country as long as the cable's on. You start screwing with people's access to their opium. I'm not talking about any hydrocodone or oxycodone or roxycodone. I'm not even talking about heroin or fentanyl or carfentanyl. I'm talking about the shit that they take in through their eyeballs for hours at a time. You start screwing with that, and they may get out on the streets. But as far as I can tell, the only two groups that are really meaningfully organizing right now are the goddamn Nazis and the people who oppose them. That's it.
Well, what did you just say? The Nazis are willing to fight, and the people who are
willing,
they are willing
to fight. They want to.
No, I don't know anybody in the anti-fascist movement that wants to go out there and take those kinds of risks. They're just scared.
The Nazis want to
put a stop to this shit.
The Nazis want to. You know, we just passed an idea.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I deliberately let it go without any mention. You know, Chuck Manson, proud scholar of the Charleston, West Virginia public education system, just shambled off to hell. And that man.
Well, he had help. I mean,
that man.
Talk about that.
That man. I don't care. That man was talking race war in the late 1960s. And it's the same shit that these Nazis are talking about now. But understand.
But they've been in the Manson.
But understand. These people don't care. There's a the vast majority of the American people don't care. All they want is for their lives to look vaguely or feel vaguely normal. And it doesn't matter how bad they get whipped or how bad they get kicked. As long as they feel, you know, even if they're not, as long as, I'm middle class, goddammit, they'll be right happy right where they are. Angry, I got to get out of here.
All right, my man. Be cool. All right, people. Say it as usual. I know it's tough, but if you can, please support this show. Visit bobkincaid.com. Visit the live stream. Check it out. Peace.
Later. That's our buddy, the Angry Indian. And, you know, that's just a spirited discussion by a couple of people who I think want the same thing. But I stand for the proposition that you can't get toward that thing you want until you acknowledge how things are. And Angry knows how things are from his perspective, and I think I might be just a little bit more cynical myself. But that having been said, it is time to get out of here. I got some good news. Laborman's challenge got met and then some. And thank you very kindly to a dear friend of the program who didn't tell me whether or not I could make it make it a public announcement. So here's where we stand. Between that individual and our buddy Todd, well, that's... oh, God, math. $55 to go to finish November. $55 to go to finish November. 2 minutes till 9. Talk about sweating. Talk about sweating the end of the month. $55 and, you know, like 3 a.m. Pacific time, because that's usually how this stuff rolls. $55, and that ends November, and we cash the check and lick the Lithuanian and nudge the Norsky. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you very kindly, as usual, as always, to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you very kindly to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox and Ben Birch. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Had some problems tonight. We'll be working on them. If my crappy connection here improves, that'll probably make life a little bit better, I suspect. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, Coal River Mountain Watch on Facebook, and at Coal River MTN on Twitter. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.